Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as we gather on the occasion of the fifth Sunday of Easter. And it's good to see you. This week I can actually announce that our confirmation class will meet on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And if the weather is good, we'll meet at our home. And if it's not so good, we'll meet at the church and we'll be able to keep safe distance for that. The council will also be meeting Tuesday night, some meeting here at the church and others in a conference call on team. So we do have a couple of things to announce this week in meeting. I'd like to express thanks to Mike and Connie Meunier and to Cheryl Rood and to Ruth and Hannah Scholze for gathering for the divine service this afternoon, so that it can be made available tomorrow morning for the rest of the congregation. Thank you so much. And it is hoped that next Sunday, as I've been asked to fill in for Pastor Dave Stephenson, and thank you so much for prayers for Pastor Dave. He's dear to this congregation, and he's a dear friend of mine. He will be getting his first week of chemotherapy, and that service on Saturday night at 6 p.m. is videotaped and live streamed, and then they post that on a Facebook. And I think with the help of Jeremy Schoonover, we're going to be able to make that available. So next week you'll get a visual along with audio, and that'll work. Plus, the present plans are that a week from Sunday, I'll be filling in to help out with a newly formed Trinity Lutheran Church of St. Charles, Minnesota. And they've been conducting services in the parking lot at a truck stop. It's the Whitewater truck stop. If you can picture it, just off of I-90, it used to be an Amish store, and I think it was an Amish truck stop. They got a stage that the presider stands on. They got an FM frequency that people can listen to. And the presider stands outside in whatever weather. And everybody else is in their cars. They might be having over 100 people, but they're all in their automobiles. And this ought to be a new and a fresh experience. People in this congregation, if they wanted to drive a little bit a week from Sunday, would be able to be a part of that. And I'll keep everybody informed about that as it unfolds this week. Birthdays and anniversaries this past week. Lisa Cash celebrated her birthday this past week on the 7th. And we have a number of anniversaries. Jeremy and Jessica Schoonover celebrated their wedding anniversary on the 3rd. Leslie and I celebrated our anniversary on the 6th, and Tom and Naomi Rislow celebrated their anniversary on the 7th. So congratulations to those with birthdays and wedding anniversaries. So that's about all that I have by way of an announcement, but it's more than I've given in some weeks. At this time, we will continue with the use of the centering song as printed in the bulletin. Please take your green hymn books, turn to page 77, and I would ask the congregation to please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please take a moment for silence, reflection, and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hymn 383. We continue on page 78. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Good.
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from the 6th and 7th chapters of Acts. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law is delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm for today is on page 287, Psalm 146 in its entirety. If we could do this in whole verses, beginning with the men and followed by the women.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in rulers, nor in any child of earth, for there is no help in them.
When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia.
The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who calls you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. The title of this sermon is, Where Are You Going? And I want to pick up on the words of our Lord Jesus in verse 6 of the gospel lesson. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please pray with me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Where are you going? It seems to me a very good question to be asking one another. Where are you going? Where are you headed in your life? What is the destination that you are seeking? What path are you on? What are you living for? All really good questions. But in the context of our gospel lesson, as we will soon see, this question was addressed to our Lord Jesus. Where are you going, Jesus? I want to back up three verses just before our present lesson and go back to the 13th chapter of John. And the three verses just prior to these verses in chapter 14 that are so familiar to us. Will you look at John 13, 36 and 38 with me? There we read that Simon Peter said to Jesus, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, Will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. So Peter asked the question of Jesus, Where are you going? And that sets an important context to this, because Jesus is talking about his departure from them. And he'd been saying to them on many occasions, at least three times, he'd been trying to tell his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In the 13th chapter of John, the very first verse, it talks, and now his hour had come to depart out of this earth. And in the 12th chapter, when he was talking about that hour, Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. And then John, the gospel writer, lets us know he was referring to his death on the cross, lifted up on the cross. On another occasion, two of the disciples asked Jesus, begging to have exalted and privileged positions in the kingdom. And Jesus said to James and John, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said, Of course, we are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. Little did they know that he's referring to a cup and a baptism of suffering and death. But did you hear the words said to Peter? You cannot go where I'm going now, but later you will go where I'm going. I will refer to that again. But I think the context is really clear to me that at least initially, Jesus' departure is his death on the cross and the tomb that lie ahead. And this is where, right now, the disciples are not able to come. Now, Peter says, I'm willing to follow you, Lord, and I'm even willing to lay down my life. And Jesus comes back and says, Peter, really? Before the cock crows, this is the eve before Jesus' death, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times that you even know me. In the other gospel lesson, Peter isn't only isolated. All the other disciples said with Peter, we will never deny you. And yet Jesus knew that they would. In one of the gospels, he said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will all flee. So here on the last night, Jesus is letting his disciples know his departure with the death that's upcoming. They will all flee from him. Okay. So now we're ready to get to John chapter 14 in our gospel lesson. And Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Think of that for a moment. At this point in time, the night before his death, Jesus isn't so worried about what lies ahead for himself, but he's worried about the very disciples that he knows will abandon him. Let not your hearts be troubled. This departure that they're not ready for. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Just one more indication that Jesus made himself out to be God. That he and the Heavenly Father were one. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then we get to these words that we know so well. In my Father's house are many rooms. In my Father's house are many dwellings, is what this is all about. There's a dwelling place for very many people. That's good news for us to hear. Some of you may be fond of the King James, and I like the sound of, in my Father's house are many mansions. That sounds pretty exciting. But I got to tell you, I think the emphasis here isn't so much in preparing a bunch of rooms and how lavish they are. I think the emphasis is being able to dwell with God in unbroken fellowship, to be reconciled with God in his celestial area, and to have a dwelling with him. And what is it that prevents us from being reconciled presently in this life? And it is our sinfulness. That whole sin thing needs to be taken care of. Now, I have thought through the years that this primarily has to do with Jesus departing from them after his death and resurrection and when he ascends into heaven. And there he goes into heaven and he prepares rooms, talk about room service, and gets everything ready. And there may be some of that, but that's where my mind has mostly been. But that's why I took a little time to try to set the stage to say that it appears the immediate context is Jesus' departure being his death. And they're quite unprepared for this. And for that better part, at least part of 3 days, Saturday being that long day, of feeling ever so desolate, ever so orphaned and abandoned by this one that with every intentionality they wanted to follow, even laying down their lives, even if they fail in that in the end. That it's this departure in which he goes to prepare a place. Think about that. You lucky six seated in front of me, and hopefully a lot more people listening tomorrow. By the way, I've just got to interject, and hopefully it keeps your attention a little bit. I heard from a pastor at a large congregation in town here and said they have a way of marking how many people are listening to their live stream services, and they actually have a greater attendance of people listening to the service at this time. And we both had a good chuckle. This is happening around the country. Evidently, if you can just stay in bed or stay at home, that it's a lot easier to participate in a worship service. So who knows? I have every hope that that the six that are listening now will be joined by a lot of people. And I hope any attempt to try to explicate the wonderful promises and truths of scriptures get listened to now more than ever. God's word cannot be bound. But I want you to see something in the immediate context. That if my hunch is right, and this is an original with me, that Jesus goes to the cross and to the tomb to prepare the fact that we can dwell with God in unbroken fellowship. That we can be a part of the many dwellings. That is to say that in Jesus going to death and to the tomb, He is atoning for our sins, the very thing that has broken our fellowship and our being able to dwell in God's presence and God to be able to dwell fully with us. So that in atoning for our sins, Jesus conquers sin, death, and the devil, that triad we hear a lot about. And that is what prepares for us a place. Then I think we think primarily in the future, that someday, that when we die and we're resurrected, we'll go to the new heaven and the new earth. Yes, there's certainly that. But I'm thinking even more immediately that when Jesus comes back resurrected after his absence, where they couldn't go at that time, they will already have a reconciliation because of what Jesus accomplished in atoning for our sins, so that all the promises that the Lord would be with them even to the end of the age, that already God would come to dwell with his people. In the weeks ahead, we'll take a look at the role of the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, plays in all this. So this is at least radically new for me as your pastor. Maybe it's old hat for you. But going to the cross and to the tomb to prepare our place in the eternal kingdom, of which we already begin to enjoy in this temporal age, as he's promised to be with us always, even as we await its fullness and its consummation and the resurrection of the body to life eternal. So, here's where I want to end up. Here are disciples that want to follow Jesus wherever he goes. They could not go immediately where he was going to go, but they would in time. What's that all about? That also helps me at this stage, still learning at 65. I've always been a little upset during the Easter season, seven Sundays of Easter, already on the fourth Sunday of Easter. We're dealing with texts in the Gospels that take place before Jesus' death and resurrection. I would like all 7 weeks, we just hardly get time to mine the wonderful last chapters or two chapters in one Gospel in the first chapter of the book of Acts before Jesus ascends into heaven. And there's just not enough time for that. But as time has gone on, I begin to see the wisdom of some of these sayings of Jesus close to his death on the front end. And the wisdom of the church in these texts, because I believe it's only post-resurrection that we begin to get some understanding of these statements that the disciples certainly didn't understand at the time that he made before his death. And I think this is one of them. So Thomas says, Lord, how can we know the way to where you are going? How can we know where that is, and how can we follow you? And Jesus says what they think that they're doing already. He says, I am the way, and they're following him. I am the way and the truth and the life. It reminds me of Peter in Acts chapter 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Only after the resurrection would they understand how, where they couldn't follow now, they would be able to follow in short order, and they'd be able to make their way to the Father. And I'm going to let the Apostle Paul help us how it is that we can go to death and the tomb so that we can participate in the resurrection. And I hope you're already anticipating, as hopefully I'm a broken record and we repeat over and over again, baptism becomes the all-important clue. And I want to turn to Romans chapter 6 and what the Apostle Paul writes about. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The disciples could not go at that moment to death the next day with Jesus on the cross. His death alone atones for our sins. It was premature that they could participate yet in the resurrection until Jesus, who is the first fruits, was resurrected. You know how cool that is, that the head of the church, our Lord Jesus, is the first fruits? I'm looking at a lot of women that are gathered here. Mike, I'm glad you're here with me. And several that know about childbirth. The hardest part is the passing of what part of the body in childbirth? Can you believe I get involved in stuff like this in a sermon? It's that head, right? That's all the work. Once the head comes through, whew, the rest just slips right out, right? I'm the lucky generation that gets to watch that now. You know, my dad never had that opportunity. The head of the church has been the first fruit, has made its way through that birth canal of death, if you will. And the body, it's nothing for it to follow suit. And here's the exciting thing about baptism. Do you hear this word? We've got to go the same way. I don't know how exciting that is, that we too have to have the cup and the baptism of Jesus, his death and resurrection. Now, it's going to sound easy at first, but we know better too, but we already participate in that death and baptism. And you think, oh good, symbolically, that's great. Yeah, when we look at the implications, this is a long, drawn-out thing. But yeah, when we're baptized, we're joined to Jesus' death. But listen to this. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Already, with our baptism, we begin a journey that is the resurrected life, the newness of life. But we also then hear, for if we are united with him in a death like his, this gets quite literal, there's a day for all generations except the one alive when Jesus comes at the end of the age to taste death, even sharing already in the resurrection of life, something that was never intended in the beginning for any of us, and even redeemed in Christ and saved, we still will taste death and go to the tomb. But already participating in the new life, now the fullness and consummation of that new life, because we hear if we share in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. When our names will be called out and will come forth from the tomb, to what we say is the resurrection of the body to life eternal. So already the resurrected life now, but not in its fullness and completeness. And its fullness and completeness when Jesus comes at the end of the age. Sometimes that's called, in a real sophisticated way, and I'm being facetious here, already but not yet. Already participating in the resurrection of the life following Jesus in his death, so that not yet we participate in its fullness when he comes at the end of the age and takes us to a new heaven and a new earth where our dwelling will be even more and full and complete than it is already in this lifetime now. But it isn't an easy path, is it? Because the beginning of our baptismal journey is our sinful nature being sentenced to death. And it just seems like in a horror flick, that sinful nature just keeps coming alive again. And so Luther, I think, very wisely says in the Small Catechism, the implication for our baptism is that our sinful self with all its evil deeds and desires should be drowned through daily repentance. And that day after day, a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. Dying daily to sin. Repentance, two parts, contrition and faith. Contrition, a confession that we are sinful, as the truth of Scripture says that we are, as the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. Contrition, matched with faith and trust in the promise that Jesus died and rose to atone for our sins and promises forgiveness. But that repentance is so painful. To be exposed to the light of God and to have to come clean and admit that I am sinful by nature and held in bondage to sin and cannot free myself. And then repentance is believing in the promise of forgiveness. And that's an ongoing need. And that is what it is to begin in baptism and to complete our baptismal journey all through our life, living in daily repentance. So the question, where are you going? We have rightly seen that the emphasis in our lesson is the question asked of Jesus, and hopefully we've seen clear where Jesus was going to prepare a place for us, to the cross and to the tomb, and then triumphant over the tomb, triumphant over sin, death, and the power of the evil one. Knowing that, now we can ask the question, and it's a good question to be asking of each other, where are you going? And I ask that to you this afternoon, and some of you will hear it in the morning. Where are you going? Where are you headed in your life? What are you living for? What's the destination that you have your eye upon or that you're already participating in? What path are you on in your life? What way are you taking? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And by baptism, we join him in death and in burial, in newness of living now, and in the resurrection of the body to life eternal. Where are you going? And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Please rise and turn to hymn 464. We continue on page 84, where it's our privilege to be able to confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Take a moment for brief silence. Lord Jesus, make the whole church on earth into your house of living stones, holy, precious, your prized possession and beloved body. Cause its words and deeds to proclaim the excellence of your salvation. Use it to call many people out of darkness into your marvelous light. We ask this especially for the Methodist tradition of churches. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Like Stephen, there are many, even today, who are persecuted and tortured for proclaiming you as Lord. Give them the grace and strength that you gave Stephen to fearlessly speak your truth in love, to forgive and pray for their enemies, and to remain faithful to the end. We especially pray for Didi Ponzo and the recovery of his sight. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, we want to be your disciples, but are dismayed at the prospect of ridicule, rejection, or persecution. Give us grace to be like Stephen, always praying for others to repent and believe in you. Let us always build up faith in you alone, our head and cornerstone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We thank you for calling to your service everyone in this congregation who supports the ministry of word and sacrament through their faithful work. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Prosper all they do to further the proclamation of the gospel and the care of your people. And give them joy in serving you and your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remind the rulers of the nations that you alone are King of the nations. Humble them. Teach them to use the authority and power you give them to care for the poor and needy, the widows and orphans, the imprisoned and oppressed, the hungry, blind, and homeless. We especially pray for our President, Donald Trump, and our Governor, Tony Evers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide, protect, and strengthen all who defend life and liberty here and abroad. Prosper all their works that make for safety and justice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless, heal, comfort, and sustain everyone who cries out to you for help. We especially pray for Berger Eckloff, Cynthia Granger, Carol Halderson, Janet Sissel, Doris Donkey, Marge Wongen, Phil Weber, and those we now name before you. For Pam Tischer, for Jeff Manning, for Pastor Dave Stephenson. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Again, a moment of silence for your individual petitions and intercessions. Lord Jesus, we hear your promise at funerals. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Therefore, we entrust into your keeping our beloved dead. Be for us and for all whom you love the way to your Father's house, the truth which sets us free from the bondage to sin, evil, and death, and the life which eternally transforms us into your likeness. Lord, in your mercy,
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, merciful Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And I have to urge everybody here, everybody just wants to hug each other's neck. I can see it. But instead, you're going to be seated here and we'll take up a collection. Let's go ahead with the offertory, and please stand.
Thanksgiving, what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and
the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Body of Christ given for you. Hannah, the body of Christ given for you. Ruth, the body of Christ given for you. Mike, the body of Christ given for you. Connie, the body of Christ given for you. Leslie, the body of Christ given for you. Cheryl, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mm-hmm. Hannah, the blood of Christ shed for you. Ruth, the blood of Christ shed for you. Mike, the blood of Christ shed for you. Connie, the blood of Christ shed for you. Leslie, the blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for me. The blood of Christ shed for me. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen.
We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Christ is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
With one voice, hymn number 781. 781.
Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.